record. Okay. All right. So, Romans chapter 6. Okay. So, where's my start? Okay, here we go. Question 11 is where Romans chapter 6 comes in. And I asked you if you guys would answer these questions in Romans chapter 6, kind of go over Romans chapter 6, read that, be familiar with what's going on, and then we can talk about some of the things that are brought up. Does anybody have anything that they didn't understand? Any questions? Things, something we could look up if they need to? No? Everybody's good? So far? All right, so basically Romans chapter 6 talks about how we are in Christ and what that is a benefit for, or how we're benefited by that. And let's see. Lost my place here. All right. Okay. Okay. I know in here somewhere it says Romans chapter 6. Why can't I find it? Was it on chapter page 12?
Romans 6 was the number 6.
Oh, question 6. Okay. I'm sorry. I was ahead of myself. There we go. It's on page 11. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm like, we're all... Yeah. Okay, now we're all on the same page. Okay. So, knowing that we have Christ in our hearts and acting on that is a matter of growth. We intellectually, pastor's always talking about intellectually, people know about Jesus, but then they don't do anything with that. So as Christians, we have all of Christ's power, but we don't tend to always ask for it or allow him to work in our lives in the way that we should. And that's kind of the theme of this book, is to get ourselves to a position that we use our resources, we use Christ, we have a freedom in having him. Because as Romans 6 talking about, we don't have to yield to sin anymore. We don't have to allow that to rule in our lives anymore, because we have someone that has taken that all away from us. He's given us the power to get past those issues in our lives that we tend to repeat over and over again. So on question 7, we know that this word reckon in verse 11, or in Romans 6:11, which was our memory verse, and the word reckon means to believe that it is so, to count on it to be so. And we have to, like, take charge of this verse. We have to really apply it to our lives, that likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Right there is like the whole theme of Romans chapter 6. We don't have to let this happen anymore. It's going to. We're going to sin until we get to heaven. But we don't have to have it, let it be a constant thing in our lives. We're going to slip up. We're going to have failures in things. But to constantly feel defeated, to feel that you can't get anywhere in your Christian life, that you don't measure up, that you All of these things come from Satan. They don't come from the Lord. He's an encourager. He lifts us up. The word lifts us up. Other people in our lives lift us up. We can be encouraged and we can be strengthened in the fact that as ladies, we have somewhere. So sometimes I felt like I was always, you know, kind of, my husband was always there, but you're alone with the children and you're, and it's like you don't get the interaction that you're always with children and it's, you're not with adults. And early in my Christian life, I just felt like I was always going backwards. I wasn't getting ahead because I wasn't getting any encouragement. I wasn't giving encouragement, and I wasn't getting it from anyone else because I wasn't allowing them to work in my life, other people. I felt like I had to do it all by myself. You know, this was, you know, I had to do these things on my own. Well, that doesn't get you anywhere. We need each other. Carmen's always saying, we need each other. We need to encourage each other. And as we get a grip on this book and the things that are in here, I think it's going to draw us closer together. We're going to, you know, be able to encourage each other. And so yielding. Question 8, next page. The will. Basically, we have to determine in our hearts. Our will is our purpose, our determination. It's something we have to make a conscious effort to control, is our will. Am I going to do it Christ's way? Am I going to do it my way? The way I feel like I need to do things. Without even praying or asking the Lord what He wants. Sometimes we run ahead and do things on our own thinking, oh, I got this. I'm not going to bother the Lord with this. I have this all. And then we're in a mess. And that's when we say, oh, Lord, help. Here I am again. Help me, help me, help me. But yielding is hard. Yielding is hard. And letting the Lord control everything and giving Him our control over. We have a real hard time with yielding. Just in general. And it's not just ladies. I think men by nature like to be in control of things. And God puts them in control of things. But He tells them to rely on Me to give you the strength to control the things in your life. He gives us some little bit of control. But He wants us to ask first. And then He gives us the power to do those things. So yielding is verse 13. It tells us how to not yield ourselves to all sorts of things. But there's always like this little word, but. There's always a negative, but then there's a little but that says, but I'll give you something else instead. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So there's that put off, put on principle again. I have to deny what I want to do and ask the Lord what He wants me to do, and then He gives me all the help and encouragement that I need. If we don't have to sin anymore, question 9, if we don't have to sin anymore, why do we? Anybody have a thought? It's a choice. We make a choice to do it.
But we're tempted by the devil.
He knows our weaknesses, so He throws those out at us. We have a sin nature that has a mind of its own, I think, sometimes. And we have to bring it into submission. We have to say, no, I thought that way before, or I did these things before, but I'm not going to do them anymore because it's not going to honor the Lord. And the more, but I found that the more you do those things, the less Satan's putting those little thoughts in your brain. You know, it's like once you get a victory in some area, Satan knows that I can't tempt her with that anymore. You know, it's like we made a decision early on when we first got saved that when the doors opened, we were going to be in church. So then after a while, when it became a habit and a practice and we were there all the time, Satan didn't fight me in the morning about what I was going to do Sunday morning or what I was going to do on Wednesday, because it was like he knew that wasn't going to be a temptation for me anymore. Now, other things, well, yeah. We all still have our little things that, you know, we don't. My time in the morning, making sure that I have my, that's getting better. I do have to say, I'm on a good streak. It's been every day. It's been every day, and even when I was on vacation. So it's like, yay, this is a good thing. So the Lord is helping me. And, okay, so we just did 9. So we can be, yes, ma'am.
Same verse 9. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because we have that sin nature.
Right? Mm-hmm. But we have.
It says in our DNA.
Exactly. Let's go to James chapter 1 is the verse that it's talking about. Let's just read that and see how that's going to help us out here. James chapter 1, verse 13. Ms. Charmaine, can you read that for me?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Go ahead. Go to 15.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
So there we go. Tells us right there in James why it is that we still sin. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts. So it's the things that I think about. It's the things that I want to do this. When I say that, then I'm more than likely headed right there into that. But if I say no, I'm can't do that, or I'm not going to do that. Lord, I need your help. We stop. We have to stop and make a decision. At that time, at that point, before we sin, before we are drawn away, we may think it, but we haven't done any, we haven't acted on it yet. That's the time we need to stop and say, okay, Lord, this is getting a little more than I need to stop now. And take a few minutes and pray, and you know, but people always say, you know, think before you open your mouth. You know, it's like take a few minutes before you answer someone, so you don't answer in anger. It's kind of the same concept. We need to just stop and take a minute and reassess and say, okay, is this going to be good for me? Is this not going to be good for me? And so, but James gives us, because God's not the one that's tempting us. God doesn't do that. He doesn't put things in our path to cause us to sin. We allow those things in our life, and Satan throws them in our path, and we choose to not see or ask for God's direction as we're going down the path to stay the way he wants us to go. And Satan's always throwing a little roadblock in. It's like, okay, are you going to step over this and keep going on the path? Are you going to take this detour that he's throwing in your path without asking, Lord, is this a detour that you've placed in my life? Or is this a detour that that Satan is an obstacle that Satan's throwing in there. Yes, ma'am.
I think your analogy was really good because the more you move away, the more temptations are, the easier it is to say, you know, like use coming to church as an example.
Right.
You know, you start missing once or twice, and then it's easier to miss the third time, and you know.
And then after a while, you look, oh wow, it's been a whole month since I've been to church.
Right.
Where's your help? Where's your encouragement?
Where,
and who are you being a blessing to? And nobody can be a blessing to you if you're not there. If you're not here to be a blessing and be blessed. If you choose to stay away and stay by yourself and rely on yourself instead of getting, I remember Pastor told us like, within probably the first few months of with being saved. How often do you eat? Do you eat every day? Do you eat every week? Yes, you do. Then why would you deprive yourself of the food that God can give you to once a week when you come Sunday morning? You have 4 opportunities in a week to be fed. And you choose to do once. You choose to come for one service, or you come for the same service and you miss the blessing from Sunday school because that's geared for learning and instruction. Sunday morning is geared toward salvation and reaching the lost. Sunday night is geared for the church family, for edifying, for growth. Wednesday night is for prayer. You miss those 4 different times in the service. You're missing out on a blessing from the Lord and to be a blessing to someone else. And I was like, wow, okay, I got it now. There's a reason why all the services are a little different. They're not the same. It's not like I can say, oh, well, I'm going to come to, I came to church. Well, you keep hearing the same things over, it's the same type of service. You're only coming and hearing one aspect of the whole week. You know, it's like you're only getting the appetizer. You're not getting the main course and the dinner and the dessert and all the whole banquet. You're not getting that. You're only getting one aspect of the food that you can have for the week. And it's like, oh, that is so good. I like that. So and I've even, you know, told that to people who are like, why do you go to church so much? I'm like, because there's so much there. It's not just Sunday morning.
The same sermon 4 times.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not preaching the same. He's not saying the same stuff over and over again every Sunday. You know, or so. Yeah. So, thank you, Miss Beth. That's an encouragement. Okay. So we read James, and James gives us some nice help. If we stop there at verse 14, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away. Okay, so if we go back to verse 13 and realize that God's not tempting us, that Satan's tempting us, and we stop right there, we're not going to do verse 15. We're not going to be drawn away and enticed, and lust is not going to be conceived, and we're not going to sin. So it's like it's a 3-step process. Knowing that Christ isn't tempting us, knowing where the temptation comes from, it's my sin nature and Satan are in cahoots. And so they're going to throw things at me to get me to sin. But I don't have to yield to it. There's the yielding. And if it's like a stop sign or a yield sign. If you don't yield, something bad could happen. Right? A train could be coming. You know, a big semi truck could be coming if you don't yield. Keep that in mind. We drive, we have to yield at times, and you have to stop and make a decision. Okay, am I going to yield at this yield sign? Am I really going to yield? Am I really going to stop? So just keep those little pictures in your brain when something comes along your pathway that we're going down. Okay, so next, when we're, verse 10, or question 10, I'm sorry. When we're crucified with Christ, we are basically legally dead to sin, it says. But there's another dramatic change that takes place in our lives. In Galatians chapter 2. I know there's in here. Galatians is in my Bible. I was like, here it is. Sharon, you want to read Galatians 2:20, please?
Hey, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
What a promise. What a blessing to have and dwell on and chew on every day, that Christ loved me enough to die for me.
It's my favorite scripture.
That's very good. Oh, amen, Miss Dorothy. But that I hear pastor talk, and I know my husband, you know, his testimony is like, they were like scared into salvation. They were scared into the fact of going to hell. I didn't get saved that way. I got saved because God loved me. And it blew me away. I couldn't get a grip on that, why he would love me when I felt so unlovable and so not worthy. And what could I give to him? But he loved me anyway. I mean, he loved me. Even if I had been the only person, he would have still come and done that. And I couldn't get past that. And it's like, okay, whatever you have to give me, I gladly accept that, because I was loved, my parents loved me, my husband loved me, but I didn't love me. And I couldn't understand why God especially would love me. And yeah, and that's how I got saved, was that God's love was just overwhelming to me. And why? Thank you. And so, yes, I love this verse too, Miss Dorothy. Just is so wonderful. All right, where do we go? All right, so verse 11, or I keep saying verse 11, but it's question 11. There's more verses that talk about Christ living in us. We've got 1 Corinthians 6:19 and Romans 8:9-10. And it tells us that our 1 Corinthians 6:19, we're right close by there, so let's read that one real quick. 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So think of a beautiful temple, a beautiful, our beautiful church that the Lord gave us. And we work hard to keep it clean and tidy and, you know, no clutter. And we can be the same way. We can be clean and tidy. And the clutter that we allow into our lives, we can get rid of that. If we keep that picture of Christ lives in my temple, he's right here. And but try not to, you know, bring a lot of the world into our lives and muddle our thinking. And it's a good picture. I just thought of that. It was a good picture to keep. Alrighty. And there we go. Romans 8 is the next one that we'll read. Romans 8, 9, and 10. 8. Miss Bev, you want to read that one for me?
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, But the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
Amen. So we know that we have this. We have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God's power, we have all these things when we become a Christian, and it's a blessing. It's something that's wonderful. But he says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't have to do anything for you. If you don't belong to him, he doesn't have to bless you. And people, I hear it at work, I hear it, you know, you hear it all. You know, I prayed and, you know, God did this for me. Well, I doubt that seriously, because if you're not a Christian, the only prayer God answers is the one for salvation. If you're not saved, he's not obligated to answer your prayers. Christ belongs in my heart. He has to answer me. He has to listen to my prayers. He has to, because he promised that he would. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. But right here it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Christ is not honored or not obligated to answer your prayers if you don't belong to him. Just like there's children out on the street. I don't have any obligation to take care of them. Out of human dignity, yes, I help you. We help people out, but I don't have an obligation to them like I do my children, because they belong to me. They came from me. They're mine. But Christ died for everyone, but everyone is not his. We are his creation, but to be adopted, that's why we have to be born again. We have to allow Christ into our heart to become part of his family. It's that gift that Christ died on the cross to give us all. But if we don't accept it, if I give Charmaine a gift and say, here, Charmaine, here, have this, and it stays right there, and Charmaine never takes it, it's not hers, even though I gave it to her. But it's not hers, because she didn't take it. She didn't accept it. And I'm not saying, Charmaine, you can have this if you give me money. That's not a gift. She's bought it then. I'm not freely giving anything to her. But Christ did that. He freely gave himself to die for the whole world, but the whole world is not going to accept him. The Bible tells us that. And just because you know intellectually that Christ died on the cross for the sins of mankind doesn't make you his. It's the putting on and the putting off. It's the believing in and believing on. There's a dip, there's like 16 inches from your head to your heart. That's not a long distance, but it's a big distance between heaven and hell. And that's the difference. You believe it here, but you never bring it into your heart. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no middle ground. Just because you intellectually, I know that George Washington was the first president of the United States. Okay, I've heard that my whole life. But I don't have it. It's not going to do me any good other than it's an intellectual fact. I never saw George Washington. Just because they wrote it down in history. Well, a lot of people, that's the only way that they know who Jesus Christ is. Because historically, he's written about. We've seen the songs at Christmas, you know, that he was born. Some people still think he's still the baby in the manger. That's their only concept of who Jesus is. But we know different. We have accepted him as our Savior. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is truly God and he was truly man, and he died for the my sins and yours and the whole world's, but it's up to us to let them know that and until they have that understanding and accept that gift, there's a heaven and hell is theirs to choose. And but the God's given us a free will to choose. We can choose to accept this free gift or we can choose not to. And there are people that choose not to. And but he says the path is narrow that's going to lead to heaven. And it's sad, and it should encourage us to share our witness and share our testimony and be encouragement to, you know, the people that we know that have a knowledge of Jesus, but they haven't truly accepted him as their Savior. The Lord's been working with me on that aspect of my life, but I think we need to stop. We're going to, we have the last two questions, 12 and 13. If you haven't answered those, go ahead and fill those out. And if you want to, on page 13, these little words over here, just kind of go over those and kind of get those in your mind. We're not going to spend a lot of time on those, but it's good to just look them up if you need to in the dictionary, but they give you a little definition on those. So basically, 12 and 13 is what we need to work on. Read those verses, and that'll be our assignment for next week.